You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. 56 days away from the college football season. I'm keeping track, absolutely. Of course, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, we'll be bringing you Utah Ute football throughout the year. The Utes will open up the season this year with Weber State. We are going to talk Utah Utes, BYU, and the entire college football landscape right now with college football writer Phil Still. Every year, Phil puts out the Bible of College Football. It's an in-depth magazine geared towards every Division I football squad. Phil, what a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Hey, always a pleasure, Jordan. Good to talk to you again.
Well, Phil, let's dive right into it. I mean, we are a month and a half away from college football, and I know the magazine it's out, it's in stores, it's on bookstore shelves, and you can also download it online as well. And we can start by talking about the magazine. I mean, you're back for a whole nother year, and like I said, it's the Bible of college football, and there's multiple ways that you can get your hands on the magazine.
Yeah, the magazine is 352 pages, and it's available at all the fine bookstores out there, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, CVS, Publix, Target, Walgreens, Walmart, and they sell out pretty quick this time of year, so if you're going to get out to the newsstands and buy one, I recommend you do it this week. You can also go online and get the magazine, and that's at philsteele.com. That's Phil, STEELE.com, and when you go there, it'll give you information on how to order the magazine, where we'll send it to you, or you can download it to your iPad or iPhone, your Android device, Kindle, or even your computer. So there's a lot of different ways to get the magazine, but once you get it, you'll find it's got 3 to 4 times the amount of information of any other college football preview, and we give you the same amount of coverage on Utah State that we give you on Alabama and USC. 2 full pages, everything located in the same exact spot on every page on all 130 FBS teams.
Fantastic stuff. Phil, actually, I want to give the listeners just a little bit more of a background before I start picking your brain about some Utah college football here. You've been publishing this magazine since, I believe, 1995, and it's basically entirely written by you personally. So, I mean, you put 365 days worth of work into this magazine, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. And we start, you know, full bore on the magazine the Sunday after Thanksgiving, where we can actually start getting the right-hand pages done for the teams whose season are complete, start going through the last year's season, to read through all the articles that are written about the team, do the first write-through process, then do our postseason write-through. Then the second write-through is the pre-spring. We add in the freshmen, and then also any transfers in or out. And then the third one, very important one, is the post-spring write-through. And what I like to do is talk to as many of the coaches as I can. This year I talked to over 100 of the 130 coaches. I go over their team with them. They let me know strengths and weaknesses of the players. The interviews generally take about an hour. And they put my players in order as well. If a player moved during the spring, went from right guard to left guard, they let me know and we get it all updated.
Well, Phil, you're definitely the college football guru, so let's dive into it. I want to start with the Utah Utes, and we can talk about the Pac-12 South. I don't know that there is a more difficult conference, division conference, in all of college football to predict than the Pac-12 South, and I guess this is a perfect starting point. I mean, there's a couple of different directions that I think you could go with who you would believe is the favorite. Give me your take on the Pac-12 South this year.
Yeah, the Pac-12 South is a wide-open division this year, and you can make a case for a lot of different teams. I know some folks are making a case for Chip Kelly and UCLA, maybe what Herm Edwards has taken over at Arizona State. He's got a veteran quarterback in Manny Wilkins. But I think it might come down 4 teams really battling that out. USC is going to be the preseason favorite this year. It seems like they always are. They've got 3 capable quarterbacks in Matt Fink, JT Daniels, and Jack Sears. They've got an outstanding running back in Stephen Carr. My number 9 rated offensive line in the country, number 6 rated set of receivers. And defensively, they may have the best defense in the conference. They've got practically everybody back from last year. They only lose 9 Lettermen. They got Porter Gustin up front, Cam Smith at linebacker, Iman Marshall at cornerback. The linebacking corps is 3rd best in the country, as are the DBs, and they're solid on special teams. Now, the experience level, they're at number 106, and they do have to play this year at Utah. Utah. So I think, and as well as at Arizona this year, and I think that opens up the door. And when you look at Utah, they're a team that I think is a primetime contender. If they had USC scheduled, USC avoids two key teams out of the north in Washington and Oregon. Utah has to face Washington, Oregon, and Stanford, all three of the top teams out of the north this year, and that's going to make it a pretty tough schedule, but I really like the talent Utah has on hand, and I'm sure we'll speak more in depth about Utah probably on your next question, so I'll skip over them a little bit. Go to Arizona. They got Khalil Tate at the quarterback spot, and then I think when I talked to Coach Sumlin this year, you know, he likes the talent he has inherits. They got my number 22 offense. Defensively, he feels they'll be improved, but they still had a long way to go. But I think anytime you got Khalil Tate on the field, you got a chance. And then never discount Mike McIntyre. I thought last year he was in a rebuilding year. They still went 5-7, basically one play away from making it to a bowl game. 10 returning starters this year, solid at the quarterback with Steven Montez, good receiving core and offensive line. And, you know, McIntyre's now in his sixth year there. And I think he'll sneakily have them contending as well.
Well, let's talk about Utah here. We did have Coach Kyle Whittingham on the show just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about spring practice and, you know, the red and white game and going all through it. And I know as far as front to back goes defensively, this is where Utah always stands out. Of course, Coach Whittingham is a defensive-minded individual. Phil, I personally like the defensive backs for Utah this year, and I think that's where we're going to see the most growth if we break down an individual aspect of this team. I have big expectations for the secondary.
And I'm in agreement with you. I've got them rated number 10 in the country as far as the secondaries go. Last year they finished number 5 in my quarterback, or pass defense ratings, I should say. And even with moving a safety like Chase Hansen over to Rover, which I think is a needed move to the linebacking position because the linebackers lost a lot, they're still deep. They've got a couple of guys like Jalen Johnson, a nice 6-foot corner. And had he not had an injured shoulder last year, probably would have had, been a bigger factor. And you look at the fact that I think he's going to be one of your top corners along with Julian Blackman, and then you got a Kerryon Ballard at the free safety spot. This is a very good secondary, and they're going to rank high in the PASTI rankings once again.
We can move and talk about the offensive side of the ball here. Of course, the most notable position, always quarterback. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Tyler Huntley, as a sophomore, completed about 63% of his passes. I don't know what the expectation should be for Tyler Huntley. We've had conversations with Coach Witt about that as well, and he called him a fierce competitor, one of the best competitors that you will ever come across. Phil, in some aspects, I think he took some big steps forward last year, yet at the same time, there were some inconsistencies. Give me your thoughts on Tyler Huntley.
You know, I think if the injury hadn't happened last year, we would have seen a better Tyler Huntley throughout the season. Remember, like, the first game he came back off the injury, he seemed a little rusty, and they struggled offensively. He threw some interceptions and basically cost them the game, but I thought he improved as the season went on. Really surprised me he was named the starter at the beginning of the year, and then I liked the way he played at the beginning of the year prior to getting injured. So I think as long as he stays healthy all year, he'll be pretty good. But he is going to be pushed by Jack Tuttle, who's a 6'3", 205, true freshman. This guy's a workout warrior. He's got a big arm. He's mobile. And ran a similar offense in high school. So I think that's a big plus to have. And, you know, last year it surprised me that Huntley was named the starter. So who knows? You never know if Jack Tuttle can actually win that job in August. But Coach Whittingham feels they're way ahead at the quarterback position of where they were last year, especially in the knowledge of the offense. Because remember, they switched up their offensive coordinator last year.
Right, absolutely. And I know this year they have their top four rushers back from last season, including Zach Moss. And I have to believe that a lot of Huntley's success, being that he is such a run-oriented quarterback, would have to fall on Zach Moss, who averaged about 90 yards per game last season.
Yeah, and I thought Moss got better at the second half of the year. It's sort of like mid-year, seemed like the light switch came on for him, and everything happened. He's a physical runner, catches the ball well, picks up blitzes well. He's really a complete back at 212 pounds. I think he's an NFL prospect. So, you know, I think Moss, and the fact that he's got players like Shine and Henry Cole and Green behind him, I think that keeps him from being maybe overworked in the games and fresh in the fourth quarter. So I think they have a nice combination at the running back spot, and they do have one of the top running back units in the country.
Now, Phil, before we end this particular talk on the Pac-12, we got to go over to the Pac-12 North here for just a moment, because while the Pac-12 South is wide open, to me, there's one clear path here in the Pac-12 North, and that's Washington. They seem to be the clear favorites. Chris Peterson's returning 16 starters. He's got Jake Browning. He's got Miles Gaskin. He's got probably the best 1-2 duo as far as seniors go on the offensive line up front. To me, I think there's Washington, and then there's maybe everyone else in the entire Pac-12, much less the Pac-12 North.
Yeah, I think there's probably two teams that could contend with Washington, but I liked Washington so much I put them in the playoffs. And, you know, the Pac-12 being much maligned after the bowl season they had last year. But I think Chris Peterson's got his best team he's put on the field. Jake Browning's a guy who had 43 touchdown passes 2 years ago, dropped down to 19 last year. I think he sort of regains his 16 form. He'll be much stronger. They're solid at running back. Miles Gaskin's got three 1,300-yard seasons under his belt. Offensive line is solid at number 13 in the country. And defensively, nine starters back. In fact, they have my number 11 defensive line, number 11 set of linebackers, number 2 DBs. Fifth best defense in the country. If they get past Auburn in the opener, they will be favored in all the rest of their games. Toughest games figure to be at Oregon and, of course, at Utah. Those are the toughest two games of the season. Now, Stanford, I'm never going to discount David Shaw company.
Sure,
they got a
right.
pretty good running back in the backfield in Bryce Love. He's running behind my number four rated offensive line in the country. And remember, Love was basically running on one leg in the second half of last year. I think he'll be much stronger this year if he can. And he topped 2,000 yards last year. But if he can stay 100% healthy, look out. They've got KJ Costello. Defensively, they've got one of the best linebacking cores in the country. My number four set of linebackers, number four offensive line. But they do have to play both Washington and Oregon on the road. And then if you're looking for a sleeper in the North, I'm going to throw out the Ducks, because Justin Herbert's a guy who, at quarterback last year, they averaged 52 points per game with Herbert at quarterback. Without him, 15. Herbert's healthy. He's one of the top NFL prospect. He's got an outstanding offensive line in front of him, which I rate number 12. The defense will be improved. Cristobal always did a good job at Florida International, and I think he'll do a good job here at Oregon. And they get Washington and Stanford at home. That makes him a sleeper in the North, but clearly I'm going with Washington, especially if I'm picking him to make the playoffs.
The next question I had about the North was Oregon, because, again, when you have three coaches in 3 years, that does definitely throw some uncertainty around. That's not an issue, though. You're not worried about that.
No, and the fact that Cristobal was on the staff last year, if it was a complete three new head coaches coming in with three new staffs each year, I would have a concern. But Cristobal was on the staff last year, so there's not major changes that are taking place. So it helps him a lot. You go back to there's a program in the Sun Belt that lost like their head coach four straight years at Arkansas State, and you know that was tough to survive something like that. Four brand new head coaches each and every year, and then there's always a lot of transfers, but there weren't that many transfers this time.
Again, we're being joined right now by Phil Steele, and the magazine is out right now. Phil Steele's College Football Preview. Make sure you go pick that up on bookstore shelves right now. Also, you can get the downloadable copy online. Phil, there's so much more I'd love to talk with you about. Do you have time for one more segment with us?
Sure thing.
Excellent. Plenty more coming up with college football writer Phil Steele. We'll touch on BYU, plus talk about some of the national contenders when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.